All right. Before I begin, I want to lift our children up in prayer. Amen. Father, we're grateful for our children. And we know that they need you, God. We see the need that they have for you when they don't see the need that they have for you. But we lift them up believing, God, that you're going to reach them. Believing, God, that our household will be saved. Believing, God, that they will be safe. And we thank you, Father, for covering our children. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're composing a list of our children to hand out. If you have not called Pastor Donna and gave her your children's name, now, I understand, okay? I understand that you want on that list. And I love my dogs more than anything in the world. I mean, I just love those things. So I get it. You know, we love our animals. They are our children. There's no question about that. We love our grandchildren. There's no question about that. But that's not what this is. This is our children and our children-in-law. If your child's married, her husband or the husband or wife is included as well because they are my children. That's the list. Don't send in anything other than the list. All right. I'm done with the public service announcement. All right. I am preaching a pastor's perspective on the book of Galatians. I've got to finish this book. I got to get done with this thing. It's driving me crazy. See, what you don't understand is God puts me through what it is I'm preaching about all week long. This isn't a good book to preach. This book is about Paul's frustration. He's angry. He's frustrated. He's perplexed. He doesn't understand. He's confused. The people aren't getting it. They're not listening. Welcome to the service, Church of Galatia. Friday night, I'm pouring my heart out, like I do every Friday that we have Journey of Faith. And I'm talking about when you talk negatively about somebody else, how you're cursing yourself. Now, while I'm talking about that, there are people actually on their phone talking negatively about somebody else. Can you excuse me why I have a tantrum? Ah! Y'all gonna cause me to have to dye my hair, you keep this up. You can't come to a service and leave your phone in your pocket. You can't come and leave it in your purse. You can't leave it in your car. You can't leave it at home. What is wrong with you? You're disrespectful. You're disrespectful to me. You're disrespectful to God. That's just the truth. What's the Bible say? Hebrews 13:17. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? In other translations, it says very simply, you're going to act like a fool and you're going to get no benefit from them. They're not going to be able to benefit you. They're not going to be able to help you because you're making things difficult for them. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but this is what I have to say. I hope you'll come to a Friday night service. They're wonderful. But if your phone's more important than the service, go to Dunkin' Donuts go to McDonald's. I don't care where you go. Just don't come here. You're distracting. And you're interrupting the Holy Spirit. You're not interrupting the Holy Spirit, but you're interrupting others' ability to receive the Holy Spirit. We've got to learn that although we have fun and we're a fun church, we have to learn to be respectful as well as have fun. I love the laughter. I love good time. Think about what you're doing. I'm going to start. Got quiet in here. Got too quiet. Well, I'm talking about it. They're doing it. One more tantrum. I feel better. Thank you for allowing that. We're on Galatians chapter 4, and I'm thankful there's only 6 chapters, and we're on chapter or verse 19, so let's begin. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. In other words, Paul's saying, you know, when we started this thing, I was in childbirth. It was painful watching you. It was painful because you didn't understand what it was I was trying to give to you. You didn't understand the way you should operate and live. And that's a beautiful thing as well. Just like childbirth is the most beautiful thing, is the most painful thing, but yet it's the most beautiful thing when you're holding that baby in your arms. I remember very clearly holding my children in my arms when they were born. There was nothing greater. And there's nothing greater than watching somebody come in here who does not know God. They find God. They accept God. They apply God to their life, and it's a beautiful thing. But Paul's saying, why do I have to go through it again? Why are you making me relive that pain that I had to start with? You're over that now. You're not a baby anymore. Now remember, Paul's writing a letter. He's not actually there. But he says, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone. I don't like this tone that I'm expressing. I want to be the fun Paul. You know, like you make mom be the bad person and dad comes in and gets all the love and glory. Right, Franklin? We know what we're doing. Paul said, I want to be the good guy. I want to come in and tell you how great you're doing and how much I love you. And I want to just encourage you. But you're making me crazy. He says, because I'm perplexed about you. And I find I'm becoming more and more perplexed. And I don't understand. That's why I got to finish this book. Tell me. You that want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? That is like such a profound statement. You that want to be under the law of the tithe, are you not aware of what the law of the tithe is? No, you're not. There are like 7 tithes. The church only teaches the one that puts money in their pocket. We don't teach you the other six. Or so, however many there are. Why? It doesn't benefit us. So I don't teach the law of the tithe at all. I preach from your heart, please. Between you and God. Talk to God. Do what God wants you to do. See, I already know he wants you to tithe. You go figure it out with God. I would be happy with the tithe, but God wants more from me. Considerably more. And I'm okay with that because I get considerably more. It's like the guy who complains about taxes, and I'm going to get a tax bill. I'm waiting for it any minute now. This year, but my accountant said they're taking back your Social Security that you got all year long. And he said, and that marketplace deduction you get of $2,000 a month, they're going to take that too. And I'm not going to sit here and complain about a tax bill because in order to get a tax bill like that, I had to make money. It's okay. I pray that you have a $50,000 tax bill. What does that scare you for? That means you made a lot of money. Yes? You're a new business owner. Talk to me. Thank God when you get that $50,000 tax bill. That means you're on it. But we want to be under the law when it's convenient. We'll pull that scripture out when it benefits us. We'll talk about the law when it is best for us. But we don't know the whole law. We don't know the laws that they had to live under. We call those that live under the law religious spirits. Because you're trying to hang on to something that doesn't apply to you. See, everything in the Bible does not apply to you. Sometimes they're talking to Christians. Sometimes they're talking to un-Christians. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and one and the other by the free woman. His wife Sarah and their servant Hagar. Okay? Go ahead. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of divine promise. What is Paul trying to say here? He's trying to tell you that you're either going to live under the grace of God or you're going to live under a law that you can't keep. And stop bouncing back and forth between the two. These things are being taken figuratively. I love that because I've had too many arguments about the Bible being literal because I was brought up in a church that taught the Bible is the literal, infallible word of God, period, end of story, and it is infallible, but it is not literal. Jesus speaks Jesus. If you don't understand Jesus, you're not going to understand the Bible. It's complicated. He uses parables, he uses stories, he uses things that didn't happen to show you what could happen. The woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. That's Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child, shout for joy, cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." There's more of them than there is of us. There are more people in slavery than there are free. It's just a slavery that we don't understand. But we're all slaves. You're either going to be a slave to the devil or a slave to Christ. Paul often starts his letter, "I'm a slave to God." He owns us. He bought us. Or you're a slave to the devil. And just like the church of Galatia, we got people that bounce back and forth. Go on. "Now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At the time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now." That statement you can take literally. It is the same now. We are being persecuted by those that are outside of Christ. It's always been that way. Always will be that way. Look at what is going on. And not that I want to keep bringing this up, but God says to tell you this. Erica Kirk stood up and said, "I forgive that young man who shot Charlie. Because I don't want to not be able to go to heaven and see Charlie." Wow. Very powerful. And I'm like, that's what I've been trying to tell everybody for years. That if you refuse to forgive, and I got people running around here with no forgiveness in their heart, and I don't understand it. Because if you refuse to give, you're not going to heaven. You're not. But what does Scripture say? "Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son." Those of you, this is what Paul's exactly saying, those of you that continue to be under the law will not share in the inheritance of those that live by grace. I don't keep the commandments because of the commandments. I keep them because I'm under the grace of God, and therefore I want to keep them. I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it because I want to. And I don't always do such a good job. But thank God I'm under grace and not under that law. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." And what happened to our ability to give grace? I don't understand. I might have another tantrum here in a minute. Are you a slave or are you free? Because when I see your refusal to give grace, I know you're a slave. But when I see you give grace, I know you're free. God has set you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed, according to the Bible. Why don't we allow God to set us free? Isn't what you're carrying heavy? In construction, we carry a lot of heavy stuff. Right, Franklin? And we had to carry a treadmill. If you ever carried a treadmill, treadmill is one of the heaviest things you can carry. It's heavy. We had to carry a treadmill the other day. And like, we're looking at our next spot there, and we're thankful that there's nothing heavy. They're boxes. We can handle that. Put that on the dolly, roll it up, push it away, we're done. It's good. No treadmills. The point is, we carry stuff that's heavy on our spirit. And we need to let it go. Stop wanting other people to get what they deserve when you don't want what you deserve. I don't want to carry it anymore. I don't want to carry anger. I don't want to carry animosity. I don't want to carry anything that causes discord in the kingdom of God. I'm just going to love everybody no matter how foolish they are. And I see some foolish stuff. Have to think back when I did foolish stuff. That's how you find grace. My favorite sentence, there go I, but for the grace of God. It could so easily be me. It could so easily be you, but for the grace of God. Why are you alive today, Red? But for the grace of God. Why are you alive, Sissy? But for the grace of God. And all God wants back for you, from you, because you owe God something right now. I'm going to tell you straight out, you owe God. I'm not just talking to Red and Sissy, I'm talking to everybody. What do you owe God? To pay that grace forward. You've been persecuted over the last year or two. Heavily persecuted. But you got to give them grace. Just like Erica Kirk gave grace to the man that killed her children's father. We might need God again. The chances are pretty good. And I always teach you, always give God a reason. Hezekiah gave him a reason. Give him a reason. Don't let God look down on you and say, you haven't given an ounce of grace to anybody. Why should I help you? Let him look down and say, man, you got a clean heart. You got no unforgiveness in your heart. You extend grace to those that give you a hard time. We're in such a time of no grace that people get shot over somebody making a mistake on the road. And you don't have a clue why they cut you off. Maybe they just did not see you. Maybe they're having the worst day of their life and just got horrific news. Maybe they just don't know how to drive. I'm not talking to just the ladies. That was bad, right? We had a lady not too long ago in Fort Lauderdale use some sign language. She wasn't deaf, but it's hard for the guy in the other car to hear you with your window up and his window up, so sign language becomes the... And the guy pulled out a gun and shot into her car and killed her little baby in the back seat. Do you think she should have extended some grace? What am I trying to tell you? When you don't extend grace, something bad about to happen. Ask her today what she would have done. Now that she knows what she knows. She'll tell you, I would have got on my knees and apologized profusely. Because nothing was worth what happened to her. But we live in an evil world that people don't know grace. That shooter did not understand grace whatsoever. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. You are children of grace. It's hard, I know. Oh, chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And what we have to understand is when somebody's trying to pull us back into slavery. Because the devil's not going to let anything go. And if you get out of slavery, he's going to spend the rest of your life trying to pull you back into slavery. The first thing he has to do is get you out of the church. He don't want you hearing all that truth. So the pastor's going to offend you and you're going to run. The guy sitting three rows back is going to offend you. Go ahead, turn around three rows and check it out right now. That's probably who's going to offend you down the road. See, now you know who it's going to be. You're going to get these ill-conceived thoughts that have no truth. None whatsoever. One guy said that I steal from the congregation because of the car I drive. You don't know me. You never been to my church. This is God's church. There ain't no stealing going on in God's church. You don't know that I've stood on this stage for 13 years and never drew one penny of salary. You don't know my God. My God's provided for me so well that I don't have to worry about taking money from the church. Where do thoughts like that come from? If you want to know something, just ask. I'll tell you. I have no shame. It is what it is. I'd rather you know the truth, because the lies are just deafening. All right. Instead of thinking somebody uses church money for their personal gain, why don't you come and ask me? You want to see our ledger? You want to see our checkbook? You could see it. All our money goes to the electric company. What was the electric bill here just for this room? This building here, was it $800 last month? $996. Just for this. Just this building. Not that building. Not that's separate. Not the big blue house, 6,000 square foot house. Nor the cottage, or the youth center. That was complaining. I think it was righteous complaining. I'm not sure. I'm hoping it was righteous complaining. I don't know how we stay open. Grace of God. I give grace, I get grace. So we have to understand when somebody's drawing us back into slavery. And there's where the problem is. It's what you tolerate because you're so afraid to tell somebody, shut up. They're your friends. I got a lot of friends that will tell you I have told them to shut up. And here's the thing. Get over it. Shut up and get over it. I'm not being drawn back into slavery because you want to talk bad about somebody. Somebody on the other end of those texts Friday night should have said, text back, shut up. Because you're drawing me back into slavery and I don't want to go. How do you sit in a public place surrounded by people and think people don't know what you're doing? and you don't know the power of God. How do people drive you back into slavery? Ever somebody gets you so mad you start cussing? Well, I know the answer is yes. I'm not asking, it's a rhetorical question. They just drew you back into slavery. Your spirit's crying, no, no, don't go there. I've been there. I've seen where it takes me. That's the amusing part. I know where it's going to take you. Nothing good's coming out of it. You're back into slavery. If nothing good's going to come out of it, why do you do it? This is the perplexion that Paul faced. It doesn't make sense. Walk away. Nigel's got a song called Walk Away. Walk away. Nigel sends his love, by the way. Hopes we let him come here soon. All right. Let's go. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. Why? People were getting circumcised just because the law said to do so. Not because they love God. Not because, honestly, when you're that young, you really don't know God. You're 3 days old. Although, in those days, there were adult circumcisions as well. When you came to God, you followed the law, and there was a law of circumcision. And God says, oh, you want to obey that law? You think that's what Jesus wants? People get, as a pastor, you have to deal with a lot of opinions. And they'll pull out a scripture and take it out of context. And then they have no understanding of the character of Christ. And one of those is when the Sabbath is. So I'm going to end that confusion for you. And people are going to get mad at me for this one. Whenever you want it to be. When do you worship God? Saturday? Sunday? Every day's good. I'm a Christian 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. End of story. That's how I'm supposed to live my life. I take a break, spend it with God. That's a good thing for Jesus. He's happy with that. Is there scripture that supports that? There absolutely is. Go find it. Let one man worship this day and let another worship this day as long as they're worshiping me. Doesn't that settle that? Not to those who want to stay slave. I have to do this on Saturday. I have to do this on Monday. I get in arguments because people wear hats in the church. You cause me arguments. Now, I don't care if you wear a hat or not. I don't think that hat affects your ears one bit. you wear earmuffs, we're going to have a discussion. Why are you here? Take off your earmuffs. You could wear four hats and I don't care. You know why I don't care? Because Jesus don't care. I went to one church, they made me wear a suit and tie every week. I had to. It wasn't an option. You will wear a suit and tie. Then I found something out. Jesus just wants me to wear some clothes. He doesn't care whether I have a suit on. He don't care if I have a tie on. Now, he don't care if I wear a suit and tie. That's cool. But he also don't care if I wear a button shirt. He don't care if I wear a pullover. He does not care what you wear to church. He cares that you come to church. My friend Ron got kicked out of a church for not wearing the proper clothes. You know what that did to him? Do you have any idea of the scar? Denied entrance. You know what I told him? Don't worry about it. They don't let Jesus in either. You're free. You are not a slave. You don't have to dress a certain way. You can cover your head. Don't cover your head. Do whatever makes you happy. But we've had people leave the church because somebody was wearing a hat. And did I get upset about that? No. Why? Because if it wasn't a hat, it'd just be something else. We're going to get nailed eventually. My first member of the church who started in church started May 27th. December came around, and she said, "Are you going to put up a Christmas tree?" And I said, "No. We're putting up two Christmas trees." Never saw her again because we put up a Christmas tree. Paul knows what he's talking about here. And so I'm trying to get you to understand that we have to find grace. I will tell you where the church is that you agree with everything. Would you like to know? Would you like the address? It doesn't exist. How can you agree with, you're married. Do you agree with your wife every day? Everything? No. Do you agree with your children all the time? No. But you come to church expecting to agree with everything? I'm okay if you don't agree with everything because I don't want to take your right away from you about being wrong. You want to be wrong? Go ahead. I don't care. Love you the same. Do you know why people act these ways? Because it's about them, not about God. Come to church and make it about God. My friend had a split in his church because of the color of the wall. And half of the members walked out because they didn't get to pick the color of the wall. That's cancer. One person infected a whole group of people. Are you an infector? A carrier? Full of cancer? Spiritual cancer? Where were you when we were picking out the color? Where were you when we were painting the room? Why do you think it's important? Poor Paul. So Paul's saying, if you're going to hold on to a religious spirit, if you're going to hold on to some portion of the law, don't you know that now you're completely under the entire law? Jesus came to pull us out from under the law. Because the law is impossible. And I'm thankful for that. And the Ten Commandments are not the law. The law is unbelievably complicated, like an IRS tax return. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. See? You religious spirit people, you're alienating yourself from Christ. You're holding on to what you think should be rather than what Christ says should be. There's this old saying that God said it, I believe it, so it must be true. I hate that saying because it's terrible. God said it, so it must be true. Whether you believe it or not, it's irrelevant. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. By faith that I'm saved. It's by my faith in Christ. Now, does that mean I should go act a fool? Keep on sinning? There's a verse in the Bible that says, is it okay to go sin because I'm a child of grace? And the answer is no. Now you have an obligation to lead others to Christ. And that's why the church is called hypocrites. By a world who doesn't understand that we're no different from them, except we're trying to do better. That we're trying to follow a God. That we're trying to do our best. We're trying to learn how to treat people. We're trying to learn how to love. We're trying to learn our journey of faith. We're trying to get closer to God. Doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. Go ahead. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. God don't care. Hat, no hat. God don't care. Suit, no suit. God don't care. I was talking to a lady in the last couple of weeks who was talking about, and I don't even remember who it was, but she went to church, but she couldn't shave her legs. God God don't care how hairy you are. God don't care how unhairy you are. But for the husbands in here, I'm going to go ahead and speak for you. We prefer unhairy. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Who did you let talk to you? Who did you listen to? What happened? Who took you off course? Somebody got you. And chances are, it's somebody that calls themselves a Christian. Who infected you? Who gave you that bad attitude? You didn't have it 2 weeks ago. But all of a sudden, you got a bad attitude now. You're looking for faults. You're looking for something wrong. And you're just like the Grinch. You can't find it, so you make it up. Oh, you must be doing this. One more verse, and I got to close. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. So keep doing it. I don't work enough hours. Keep doing it so my phone will ring and I'll have to walk you through something that you put yourself in. Stop letting people confuse you. Bad attitudes. Don't develop by themselves. Ask yourself, who helped me get this bad attitude? Because they don't happen by themselves. And there's some bad attitudes running around here right now. Figure out who caused it. And tell them to shut up. If there's something you do here and you don't want to do it, then don't do it. I only want you to do what you want to do. That's it. I'm not trying to get something from you that you don't want to give. We hear all the time, I'm here too often. I don't want to be here. We do not come and drag you out of your house. Take a break. I would rather you take a break and come back than lose you forever. We'll be okay. We will find a way to continue on. We will. I'm out of time. I've had people leave and start rumors that the church is going to close because they left. You were not God's gift to this church. I am not God's gift to this church. This is God's church. He will find a way. If he wants this church here, it will be here regardless of who's here. Don't spiral so out of control that I have to write you a letter like Paul did. And that's the church of Galatia. They just spiraled out of control. I'd rather get a hold of it than let it get too bad. Lord, we thank you for your word. I hope that it helps us get a hold of ourselves and remember who we are. That we're children of grace, we're children of love, we're children of forgiveness. And we know we've made a lot of mistakes. And we're thankful that when we ask you, you don't hold those mistakes against us anymore. But you do hold them against us until we ask you. But all we got to do is ask. We wish the bank would forgive us of our debt if we just asked them. But they don't, because they're not our God. You are our God. And we love you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.